Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12 is where we're going to cover this morning. Acts chapter 17, 10 through 12. So I want you to think this morning just for a moment about the way that technology has changed in your lifetime. And so for some of us, that's a larger span of time than others, but what we can see is that technology has been drastically changing. I mean, it's going just crazy. I mean, think about phones, for example, from going from rotary phones to cell phones that act like computers. I mean, that's just incredible. And so one of the things that continues to change as well is the digital data and the way that we store it. And so I want you to think about the way that we store information off of a computer or the way that we put information onto a computer, and I want you to think about how it has changed over a period of time. And so on the next slide here, you'll see some different things. And so first of all, in the late 60s, next slide, in the late 60s, they came out with the original floppy disk, and that's the big black one. That was, I think, an 8-inch floppy disk back in the 60s. I've never seen one of those. Never seen one. However, then came about the 5.25 disk, the red one. I remember those, barely. And so they were a real floppy disk, and you put it in there, I don't know, a little game pops up, and it, you know, you're doing whatever, or you're storing something on there. After that, 1987 comes a high-density disk. You got that? High density. The 3.5 floppy, even though it's a hard disk. And let me tell you about this. It was incredible. This high-density disk could store 1.44 megabytes of information. 1.44 megabytes of information. Now, early 90s, CDs come out. And so even for computers, we started using CDs instead of the floppies, right? And so a CD can hold about 700 megabytes of information. We're going, okay, 1.44 megabyte high density, jump into 700 megabytes. Now that is phenomenal. It doesn't stop there. You jump down to a flash drive, right? And that's what we often use now to put something on a computer or to share pictures with somebody. And a flash drive like this, I have one here, can easily hold 32 32 gigabytes of information. 32 gigabytes. That's approximately, well, first of all, it's 32,000 megabytes. So look at that. I have one of these. 1.44 megabytes, 32,000 megabytes. Think of that information that we can store on this little drive. But it doesn't end there. Here, you see that? Here is the mini or micro SD card out of my telephone, which this one holds 16 gigabytes, but 32 gigabytes is pretty normal. And actually, now you can get them that hold 128 gigabytes on this little card. That's incredible. Why do I mention all this? I mention all this because computers, they take information and they process information, or we can save things off of them onto disks, right? Well, we, in many ways, are much like computers, aren't we? We receive information into our lives and we process it. We do something with the information that we receive. Now, it's been studied, and 32 gigabytes of information, which is a lot of information compared to this amount of information, it's been studied and it's believed that we receive digitally, just digitally, about 34 gigabytes of information every single day via television, telephones, computers, however you name it. Digital media, about 34 gigabytes of information a day. And so, the question that we want to ask is, what type of information are we receiving? What type of information is coming into us, and how are we processing that information? What are we doing with it? And so we're being bombarded, and so we have to think about what type of stuff are we putting into our souls, our eternal souls that God has given us, and He's put us here for a purpose. What are we doing with it? And so in Acts today, we're going to read about the Bereans. And the Bereans were people who were faithful to examine the information that they received from the Apostle Paul. And so the Bereans give us an excellent model of what we should do when we're receiving information. And so Paul and Silas, if you remember, they were in Thessalonica. And we didn't actually read that part. Sorry, you don't know that. But they were in Thessalonica, and they had to leave because they were going to be persecuted. And we know that that's normal for them. And so they end up in Berea. And so we're going to read about the Bereans. Listen to Acts 17, 10 through 12. The Word of God says, "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more notable than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men." Let's pray. God, we thank you that we can be here this morning, that we can study your word this morning. And God, we think about just information and how much information is coming into our lives. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, first of all, to evaluate that and to process it and to do what's pleasing and honoring to you, those things that are going to shape our life to be more like Jesus Christ. And so help us to learn from the Bereans, who give us this great example of what to do with information. And so, God, help us to think about these things, help us to learn today, and help us to apply these things. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bereans, like I said, they leave us with an amazing model of what we can do with the information that's coming at us, which is a lot of information. So I want to give you what we can call the Berean principle. And so the Berean principle has four things. First of all, the Bereans had a desire. They had this desire to know more about God. They were eager to hear the word. They also partook in daily study of God's word. They discerned the information that was coming to them to see if it was true, and then they did something, they do something, they responded to the information that they received. And so, desire, daily study, discern, and do. Now, the Berean principle specifically here is related to the teaching of God's word. And so they're hearing about God from the Apostle Paul, and so they apply this principle. But what I want to do is I want to broaden that first, and I want to use this principle to evaluate any information that we are receiving. And so I think we can use this. I think it's helpful for any information we're receiving, and then we'll narrow it down and how can we apply it specifically to the Word of God. And so first of all, when we think about the information that we are receiving, do we desire good information that is pleasing to the Lord, that's going to help us fulfill the purposes to which God has called us? Do we have that desire in us? Do we want things that are actually helpful for our spiritual walk? I think of Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Paul writes, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." And so there's an intentionality here. There's a desire to set our focus, to set our minds, to gather information that is good information, information that's actually helpful to us instead of harmful for us. And so when it comes to the information we receive, when it comes to those 34 gigabytes of information that we're taking in, whether it be television or computer or telephone or newspaper or magazine, whatever it is, we control a lot of that information. We don't control every single bit of it. There's things that we can't help, but we control a lot of it. And so do we have a desire inside of us for good information? Second, we want to be discerning with the information that we are receiving. No information should be received without being evaluated. Computer viruses, if they get on your computer, they corrupt, right? They corrupt files. They slow down your computer. They don't make it, it doesn't function properly. And so we have an enemy who has planted viruses in the information that we are receiving. And he wants us to open that file with this information that's going to mess up our system, that's going to go to our heart, and ultimately it's going to be lived out in all of our lives. And so we have to be discerning. No information should come into us without us thinking about, what is this? What is this teaching me? Without taking a biblical lens, biblical worldview, and looking at it and saying, Is there a motive here? Why is this information here? And so we want to be discerning. I think about TV shows, for example. I'm going to list just a few of the most popular TV shows right now. First of all, Big Bang Theory. I haven't seen it. I don't watch it. I looked at the song. Here's the song. Religion or astronomy, Encarta, Deuteronomy, it all started with the Big Bang. Deuteronomy. In other words, they're saying even the things of the Bible just started with the Big Bang. And so what I know from that show, I know it has a lot of science in it, but it's a science without God. And so even in their theme song, they're saying it didn't happen with God. Everything just happened with the Big Bang. There's really no purpose to life. We're just here because. And so what type of message does that send to us? And so I'm not saying necessarily that we need to stay away from anything that doesn't believe in God, but we need to at least evaluate it. We need to consciously understand, what is the message, what is the worldview, what is it trying to teach, and how is it going to affect my mind? One of the most popular shows right now, Game of Thrones on HBO. I mean, that's a mature show with lots of stuff. I'm just not even going to say it. I'm just saying there's all this stuff out there. That's one of the most watched shows right now. That's garbage. And yet we have a desire sometimes to see that stuff. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is this teaching me? What is this doing to me? Modern Family. Modern Family has different portrayals, different families in different situations, which one of them is two married men raising a daughter. Well, the Bible says that marriage is between a man and a woman, right? And so what is TV trying to do? TV is trying to normalize what is sinful. It's trying to make those things everyday practice so that we're comfortable with them. And so it's in the TV shows. And so this becomes more and more popular. Think with me about news reports. So what I've done was, throughout the week, I glanced at a reputable news source, we could say, if there is such a thing these days. And so here are some of the things that I saw. And so I want us to think about these just to show you how we can be discerning. So first of all, here's one. A Florida woman charged with DUI while riding a horse. Okay? Florida woman charged with DUI while riding a horse. Now, this was national news. This isn't a Florida newspaper. This is national news. What is the point of that? Is that helpful in any way, shape, or form to us? Did we need to know that? No. that does not affect my life in any way, shape, or form. What is it? It's just gossip. It's just something catchy that we might find interesting that we're going to waste our time on, as I did. How about this one? Pregnant woman burns roommate's ferret to death in hot oven for revenge. Do I need to know that? Does that help me live a godly life? Does it help me to serve the Lord in any way, shape, or form? Does it encourage me? No. Just gossip. It has no purpose whatsoever for us. And these are the stories on national news. How about this one? Same news. This is all the same news. Carrie Underwood, more stars show skin on the red carpet at CMAs. Now, why does the news want to tell me that Carrie Underwood and other stars are not wearing appropriate clothing? Why do they want to tell me that? They want to tell me that because they want me to look at the pictures. Now, is that helpful to me in any way, shape, or form? No. Is that harmful to me? It certainly could be if I clicked on it. And so what type of agenda is the news, is the media pushing when they post something like that? What are they trying to do? And so they're trying to tempt us to do things, to look at things that are displeasing to the Lord that can possibly lead down a terrible road. And so we don't need to know that. That's not helpful. And so we need to think about these things and say, you know what? There's a purpose. There's a motive behind them for posting that. It probably gets a lot of views. And so they're pushing it. What about this one? Florida teacher who asked students to use gender-neutral pronouns gets transferred. Florida teacher who asked students to use gender-neutral pronouns gets transferred. This is what she said. One thing you should know about me is that I use gender-neutral terms. My prefix, she says to the class, is MX, pronounced mix. She wrote in a letter, my pronouns are they, them, their, instead of he, his, she, hers. She says to her class, I know it takes practice for it to feel natural, but students catch on pretty quickly. Is that relevant to us? Yes. Why is that relevant news to us? Because it shows that the culture is shifting. It shows that there's a view coming out that anybody can be whoever or whatever they want to be, and we need to respect that and go along with it. That there's nothing wrong with it. And so it shows that this teacher has been watching the media, watching the shows, and has bought into this. And so that type of thing is infiltrating the society. And so it's good for us, especially as parents and as adults, to know what type of thinking is taking place in our culture. And so that's news that's helpful for us to realize that there's teachers teaching this sort of stuff in school. Now, thankfully, it was addressed, but the culture is shifting. And so why is the culture shifting? There we go. It goes back to the media. There's a show called I Am Jazz. If anybody knows about Jazz, when Jazz was 4 years old, he thought that he wanted to be a girl when he was four. And so what happened? The parents encouraged and helped him to become a girl. And so I Am Jazz is a show about a boy who has tried to become a girl and about his life. Now, what is that show trying to do? It's trying to normalize that. It's trying to make it everyday stuff so it's not strange, so it's not recognized as being sinful. Now, let me ask you, this isn't really relevant, but how many four-year-olds really know what they want? How many four-year-olds do we just let them do whatever they want and whatever they want to be? You know, when my four-year-old wants to be a dog for the day or a bear for the day, do I say, okay, you're going to be a dog now. You want to be a dog? I'm going to help you become a dog. I'm going to give you a leash. I'm going to feed you dog food. No. We go, I'm sorry, you're four. You can't really be a dog. You can pretend for a few minutes, but later this is going to end because you're not a dog. You are, in fact, a human, and you are, in fact, a boy because God says that he created male and he created female, and they were created that way. And not only that, but we can actually look at genetics and look at the chromosomes and see that there's a difference, and we're assigned one by God at birth. So just because we want to be something does not make it okay. But the culture is trying to say that that's okay. And so if we have I am Jazz, where does it stop? What's the limit? If you want to be this, okay, it's acceptable. And so this is what our culture is pushing and trying to make seem okay for us. And so we have to be discerning. And we have to ask ourselves, what is this trying to teach me? What is this trying to get me to believe or to buy into? And so how can we be discerning? One way we can be discerning is to test the information using the Word of God. So look at Philippians 4:8. Paul writes in Philippians, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And so this information, this 34 gigabytes of information, we can hold up to the Word of God. And we can say, does this information fit what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, tells us to think about? Or is this outside of those realms? And so we need to test, according to the Word of God, and be discerning to see if those things fit with the Word of God. And part of being discerning is also realizing the effect that information has on us. Think about the effect that it has on us. We were actually talking about in Sunday school how the brain is still developing until age 25. But not only that, even as an adult, things can actually change your brain. Did you know that? The stuff that you watch, the stuff that you listen to, the stuff that you do can actually change the way that your brain functions. And so we have to be very careful with what's happening in our minds. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. That's what the world wants to do. It's trying to conform us. It's trying to shape our minds and our thinking to be conformed, to think like it thinks. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so be transformed by the renewal or the renewing of your minds. This is a process that's intentional. And so we need to take and check the stuff that's coming in, and we need to get rid of the bad stuff, and then we need to intentionally renew our minds by the Word of God. And so then we need to do something about the information. We need to keep the good information, we need to dwell on it, and we need to act on it. And so when we hear something from the Word of God, when we're reading the Bible, or when somebody speaks wisdom into our life and it's good information, we need to think about that. Don't just let it go out the other end, but continue to dwell on it, think about it, evaluate it, and then do something based on it. Act on it. We need to take steps to minimize information that is not useful. How much of our time are we wasting reading about the woman who got a DUI riding on a horse, and the other woman who burned her roommate's ferret in the oven? How much time, if we add it up all the time, are we wasting on stuff that just has absolutely no significance in our life? And so we need to take steps to minimize information that is not useful, and we need to eliminate information that is harmful. And so we need to make sure we're evaluating and getting rid of the stuff that is not healthy for us as believers in Christ. And so now let's kind of take a shift. Now let's talk about the Bereans specifically and how they responded to Paul and Silas. So the text says that Paul and Silas, they shared the word. They shared the word with them. And so the information that the Bereans received is the word. And the word is ultimately the gospel. The gospel is that everybody's a sinner, that everybody's done wrong, that everybody's broken God's law, and that everybody, therefore, is responsible for breaking the law. and that everybody deserves to be punished for breaking the law. But the good news, the gospel, is that Jesus Christ stepped in, died on the cross, rose again victoriously, and became the penalty. He became the wrath of God. He became the punishment that we deserved. And so if we believe in Jesus, we turn from our sins. That's not just saying, I believe in Jesus. That's actually a change of lifestyle, saying, now I'm living for Christ. Now I'm serving Christ. Now I'm doing these things for Christ. Then we are forgiven of our sins. And so that is ultimately the word. That is the message that they received, the Bereans, from Paul and Silas. And so how did they receive the word? They received the word with all eagerness. They didn't know if it was true yet, but they had these guys come up and say, let me tell you something about God. He came in the form of a man named Jesus. And so they receive the word. They don't know if it's true at this point, but they receive it with eagerness. They have a desire to learn more about God. First Peter writes, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Think of an infant who does not have their milk. Are they content? Are they happy? They want that milk. I watched my sister's daughter years ago, and I think that my sister gave us bottles, and she would not take the bottle. And Emily and I were watching her. We didn't have children of our own yet. And so we have this hungry child who we have milk, but that's not what she wants. She doesn't want the bottle. And so she is just not happy. And so we were doing everything possible to try and just appease her, keep her comfortable while she's yelling and screaming and crying. And it just went on and on. She had a desire for milk. And so Peter says, we as Christians should have that desire for the Word of God. Do we hunger for it like that? Are we like that, that if we're away from the Word of God, we kind of get this little twitch, like, I really need some of God's Word again. I mean, I'm like that with regular milk. If I don't have milk for like more than a day, I go out, even if it's midnight, to buy milk for myself. Is that how we are when it comes to the Word of God, that we just cannot stay away from it? We should have that desire for the Word of God to learn more about God. And if we don't have it, then we should ask the Lord, God, increase my desire for your Word. And so they were eager. They had the desire for the word, but they also examined the scripture, get this, daily. They examined the scriptures daily. With all of the information that we're receiving that's displeasing to the Lord and harmful to our minds and our souls, Sunday morning, this 1 hour that we get, or my 55 or hour and a half of preaching, is not enough. That's not enough. There's a little joke in there. That's not enough. We have to be in the Word daily. And so these Bereans, they study the Word daily. They wanted to know about God. They wanted to learn about Him. He's the best thing in all of the world. Why would we only want to take a day or a little portion of a day to spend learning about Him? And so they examined the Scriptures daily. Why did they do that? To see if these things were so. The Bereans were discerning. This guy, Paul, comes up and says, let me tell you something. And they're like, okay, we want to hear it because we have a desire. But then Paul walks away and they go, I don't know. He just said that this guy, Jesus, died and that he rose again. We're going to have to check that out. We're not just taking it from Paul. We're going to see if that's true. And so they take what they've heard from Paul and they line it up with the Word of God to see if, in fact, it is true. And so just because Paul says it doesn't mean that they're going to believe it. Just because somebody says they're a Christian and what they say happens to sound good, or I don't know, makes us feel good, doesn't mean necessarily that it's true. It could be that they're just wrong. It could be that they have interpreted the scriptures wrong, that they think that they're telling you the truth. Or it could be that they're in fact a false teacher. Now the thing about false teachers is false teachers don't have a sign around their neck that lights up and says, false teacher, false teacher. They're not alerting you that they're false teachers. 2 Peter says, there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. You got that? Secretly bringing, right? Wolves in sheep clothing. That means we're not going to immediately recognize a false teacher. There's nothing that's just screaming out of them. It usually sounds pretty good. It's usually a half-truth. And so we can't just take things because they have the label Christian on there and say, you know what, this is good stuff for me. So if it's a Christian movie, we need to evaluate it. If it's a Christian book, we have to evaluate it. There's a lot of really bad Christian books that are heresy in some Christian bookstores. And so we have to line everything up with the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's TV preaching. It doesn't matter if it's my preaching. We have to examine the Scriptures to say if it is in fact true. And so how do we do that? We want to use what we call the analogy of faith. And basically, what the analogy of faith means is that Scripture interprets Scripture. And so when somebody is teaching you and they say, the Word of God says this, or God says to do this, then we want to line that up with the rest of Scripture, because Scripture is consistent. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all the same story, all working together, all knit together. And so if somebody says something, we need to find that passage or find whatever they're saying. Where is that in the Bible? And then we need to look at the rest of Scripture and see, what does Scripture teach about this? And if it's true, it's going to line up with the entire Bible. It's not just going to be in one place. And this is why we do not develop doctrines on one simple text of the Bible. There are some verses that are a little bit obscure. And so the Mormons have baptism for the dead, based on one passage of Scripture that we really don't know what it means. And they've developed this whole doctrine about it. Well, we look at the rest of the Bible, and we ask the question, do we see baptism for the dead anywhere else? Does this seem to line up with anything else that we see anywhere else in the Bible? What would this accomplish? And we don't see it. And so we throw that out as not being true. And so we need to evaluate everything. We need to hold it up to the Word of God. We need to reject what is false and do not let it affect our lives. After they have discerned, then they realize that what Paul and Silas said to them is in fact true, that Jesus Christ is the Savior, is the Messiah, in whom eternal life comes. And so they take action. Look at verse 12. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. And so they heard the message, they evaluated it, they saw that in fact it was true, and then they recognized that it called them to action, it called them to repentance, it called them to believe in Jesus Christ. And so when we hear information that is true from the Word of God, do we take action on it? Do we walk out of here and just do nothing different, even though the Word of God calls us to action? And so I want to give you a few ways today that you can take an action based on this message. And first of all, you can respond to the Word, the gospel message, maybe by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ today. And so maybe you've heard this message and you realize, you know what, I've never placed my faith, I've never trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never believed that He is the Messiah, I've never repented of my sins before, I'm not living for Jesus intentionally today. And so maybe today the step of action is that while we're closing in a song, that you just cry out in your heart, say, God, my life is Yours. I surrender this life, I'm no longer living for myself, but I'm living for You. And I'm trusting in Jesus Christ that I'm forgiven of all my sins. And so maybe that's the step of action that you need to take today. Maybe it's responding by thinking about all the information that you bring in, that 34 gigabytes of information, and realizing, you know, some of that is garbage. Some of that's garbage. It's tempting me. It's corrupting my thinking. It's not helpful. Maybe it's just distracting. Maybe it's taking me away from better things that I could be doing with my time. And so maybe your step of action is evaluating your life, evaluating that information and saying, you know what, this stuff, I shouldn't open that file anymore. That's corrupt. That's a virus from the enemy that's trying to get inside of my heart, my soul. And so I'm going to throw that out. I'm going to step on that and crush that. I'm not opening it. And so maybe that's your step of action today, is thinking about that information and changing the information that you're taking in. Maybe your action today is responding by realizing that you need to hold everything up to the Word of God. And so maybe it's even Christian literature that you've just never really thought about. Is this really true? Maybe it sounds good, but does it really line up with the Word of God? And so maybe you need to think about that and evaluate the stuff that's labeled Christian, and maybe it's not true, or maybe it's not helpful. And so will you evaluate those things? And so those are three ways that you can respond today. Let's pray. God, you have been so good to us in so many ways. So we thank you for that. God, we thank you for salvation that is available through Christ. God, in no way, shape, or form do we deserve it. And you have demonstrated your amazing grace to us. So God, I pray if there's anybody here today that hasn't trusted in you, that hasn't surrendered their lives to you, God, I pray that today, after hearing the word, that they would take the appropriate action, that they would give their lives to you, that they would realize that life is not about them, that they'd look at their lives and they'd see their sinfulness against God, and that they'd realize that they're guilty before you, and that they wouldn't want to be guilty any longer, but they want to be forgiven and they want to live their lives for you instead of for themselves. God, I pray that they would do that today. God, I pray that we would look at the information that's coming into our lives that we have chosen, and we would discern whether it holds up to your word, whether it's helpful, whether it's productive, whether it's pleasing to you. And God, I pray that we would be willing and wanting to take steps to change that information. God, I pray that you would help us to be like the Bereans, that just because we hear something coming from a preacher or from a Christian author or from even a TV preacher or a radio person, God, I pray that we would evaluate everything that we hear according to your word to see if in fact it is true. And so, God, we ask for your grace in our lives, that you would help us to do those things. And that as we do those things, God, that you'd be shaping us more into the beautiful and amazing image of Christ, so that we would be ambassadors to this lost world. And so, God, use us for your purposes, use us for your name and for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Daryl's going to close with a song. This is a time for you to sing and worship the Lord, but also a time to make the decision in your hearts. Just to do whatever you're called to do today.